The agenda to possess the nations continues unabated.
Where are all the tears in the church? When we arrived in this church, we saw that when people were preaching, others responded in tears. It is not the preach on that we do in our generation, because they have come with an open heart. They long for nothing but the Holy Spirit and Christ, and their mind is on eternity.
This is the reason for unleashing the church with the mandate of carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth.
The grace of God also requires something from us, that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and then live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age.
Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Anytime the soul is not put in check and the soul aligns itself with the body to fight against the spirit, the person, even though will be a Christian, but will be a carnal Christian.
Welcome to Pentecost Hour, a platform for teaching, training, and unleashing the church to fulfill her mandate as salt and light in the world. Pentecost Hour, God's timely word to our dying world.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be God for yet another day like this. We are alive and we want to praise God. We are alive and we want to know that we are alive. And that God is a good God. I always say we need to thank God for God. He is a great Savior who has blessed you and I through the blood of Jesus and has put us together to be a great family, the Church of God. The Vision 2023 has come to an end. Now we are beginning the Vision 2028. We want to bless God for what He did for us in the Vision 2023. He went ahead of us and executed the vision to His own glory and praise.
And
on behalf of the Church of Pentecost, we want to lift up our hands and say, Lord, to you be all the glory.
Yeah, but the
possessing the nation's agenda
continues.
Now we now enter into phase two of the possessing the nation's agenda.
So the Vision 2028
now is the phase two of the possessing the nation's agenda. And the theme is possessing the nations. Now, what we mean by possessing the nations phase two is unleashing the whole church to transform their world with values and principles of the kingdom of God. Unleashing the whole church from Sunday school to everyone in the Church of Pentecost to transform their world. We are not saying the world, but the
sphere
where they operate, transform their world with the values and principles of the kingdom of God. Now the Vision 2023 was this: possessing the nation, equipping the church. But the Vision 2028 is saying that now that we are equipped, the church ought to be unleashed into the world
na yeko wiase nyina
to bring transformation to our world
na yedin sakraye ebeba bebia yewo biara
the whole church
asafo no nyinara
o every one of us
obi biara ka ho bi
to be just very very busy
pe ese obi ama na ni bre papa
we need to unleash all the potential in the church
ese dradia huru onyame di ahyehye asafo no nyina e pi onam ye so
to launch on the unsuspecting world and change it
na yewure wiase nim di nsakraye ebem.
Now, the slogan for the Vision 2023 was, possessing the nations, I am an agent of transformation.
Now, but
for the Vision 2028, because it's the continuation of 2023, we maintain the 2023 slogan and then add one to it. So the slogan now is possessing the nations, I am an agent of transformation. Then we go again, possessing the nations, transforming my world. Now, so every year we will draw a theme out of the overarching theme, possessing the nation. So the first one that we are going to deal with, that is theme 2024, is a people of God, unleash to transform their world.
Engineer, di kan ai de be adwuma e wo afim pimienu ene aduonu nan nimu no. Ene se onyame nkrofo a wode namye e ko wiase akosa kire wiase.
Talking about the annual themes, these are steps towards the overarching theme of possessing the nations in this aspect, unleashing the church.
So
the foundational theme for the overarching agenda of possessing the nation, that is unleashing the church, is a people of God unleashed to transform
their world.
Now we want the church to know that we are a people amongst the people. A peculiar people. With a mandate. So that when you wake up in the morning and you dress, put on your helmet of salvation. Know that you are not like the others.
And
all of us are unleashed into our spheres to change our world. I pray that God will bless us. Grant us the needed grace and strength. So that wherever you are, I want you to help us. If you can, let's rise to our feet and let us pray. That may the Lord bless this five-year vision. May the Lord bless it and use it to bless the church and to bless the nation. Shall we pray together?
In Jesus' name,
we
pray.
The vision.
Oh,
Let's pray, please. We need your prayer. Brothers and sisters, horses are made ready for war. But victory comes from the Lord. We know that it's the Lord who can help us achieve this agenda. If he has given it to us, let us pray that God strengthen us to be able to
write.
Shall grant us victory.
Shall
we pray together? In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The only one that has overcome the world. Is Jesus Christ.
Hey, Jesus Christ.
So the only group of people that can effectively overcome the world and their world are people like Christ.
Are people like Christ.
So when we are talking about unleashing the whole church, what is in our mind is unleashing Christ-like people. But we don't want to say Christ-like so that somebody in the Church of Pentecost will feel that I'm not Christ-like, so I'm not part. But every one of us is part of the whole church. But for effectiveness, we need a certain group of people who are like Christ to transform their
world.
Now, being like Christ is not in the way you walk, but it is the state of your heart. It's not the titles we carry. No, it's not people's reputation about you. It is about the state of your heart. It is therefore important for us to work in our inner man so that by 2024, when we launch deep into the possessing the nation's agenda, we'll be people who have a good heart and people without bitter spirit. So we need to get rid of any resentment quickly so that the devil will not take advantage of us. There is no need to even breach a house for the enemy to stay in because we are bitter. We don't need to have a walkway for the enemy to come into our lives through bitter spirits. Because if you do, he will exploit it to your disadvantage. We said Satan is a smart guy. So be careful of him. Because before you say Jack, You would have destroyed your marriage. You would have given him some heart disease. Destroy relationships. Before you say Jack, because of bitterness, he will make a murderer out of you. So let us be careful. Let us work together and get all sort of bitterness out of our hands. One of the verses that I like is Matthew 5:8. Where the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. People may have their own opinions about you, but your best witness is your own conscience. So blessed are the pure in heart. Let people say what they want to say. But when your heart is pure, stay pure. Don't worry about what they will say. They are not going to be your judge, no.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So we want to continue. We have to be careful about nursing grudges. My topic for tonight is the opportune time. The opportune time. We have said that when you don't forgive and you hold on offense and turning it over and over in your mind, you may be graduating into dangerous arenas of nursing grudge. To forgive is to get rid of grudge. And we have said that get it out quickly. Now, if you hold on to an offense and you start turning it over in your mind, you'll be nursing a grudge, and it will be graduating you into dangerous waters. See, nursing grudge is actually breeding evil against a neighbor. You see, most often it leads to the abominable act of revenge. See, vengeance, according to scripture, is the law's. So when you are nursing grudge, what it will lead you to is to take what is the law's and act upon it. Once you take vengeance, you have tread in a territory that you don't have to trade. I'll be talking about vengeance very soon. But I'm saying that if you hold on to a grudge, it will lead to the abominable act of vengeance. You see, people nursing grudge relish evil for the supposed offender. See, they relish evil. They tend to desire that something evil happens to the offender. And they look for opportunities to execute their plots. So I will talk about the opportune time. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. From verse 14. Mark 6:14. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him.
Now, Ohene Herodia, if we say, na Yesu din atre, na oka say, Yohania obo esuno enyane efre wufo mu enti na ahoden nie yi
I'm praying that the fame and the glory and the power of Jesus Christ in the Church of Pentecost will be known in the palaces.
To Christo, ni mutu mini na huo dinga, e wasa po Pentecosti mono, e be wure wura hifia hudwen yina.
Verse 15. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claim, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of long ago.
Na ebinom se eye Elia. Na ebinom nso se, eye edifo tise, eye odifo tise edifo numu bako.
My interest is in verse 16. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. Why is he saying that? Okay, I'll try and explain it. See, there's a successful mission in Galilee by Jesus' disciples caused the name of Christ to actually spread. Now Jesus' fame spread throughout the region. So people began to speculate as to who he was, akin him to some of the great prophets of old. Especially Elijah, because the Jewish tradition still has it that Elijah will come back. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. So then Mark now gives the moral religious reason why Herod made this statement. Why he said that John, whom I beheaded, is risen from the dead.
So,